out there in the aftermath of yet another school shooting. John Lott joins us now. His seminal book, More Guns, Less Crime, completely turned around the left's argument and refuted the left's argument that it's the gun culture that causes these horrific attacks, and without this prevalence of guns in the United States, we would have a much safer society. He joins us now. Professor Lott, it's good to talk to you. What are your thoughts on this shooting now, still less than 24 hours after it?
Well, I'm just very frustrated. It's hard for me to express my frustration. I mean, almost immediately afterwards, we start having politicians go out, talk about what new gun control laws they want to have. And the amazing thing to me is that anybody takes it seriously. I mean, here they go and start talking about background checks on private transfers. Well, it's pretty clear it wouldn't have mattered yesterday. There's not one mass public shooting during this whole century so far that they could point to that would have been stopped if that type of law had already been in effect. And yet, whether it was President Obama after each of his mass public shootings or the ones that we've had since then, it keeps on being trotted out as something we should go and adopt. You know, you look at the other things. I was listening to Senator Nelson from Florida yesterday going and talking about the terror watch list and how we need to get that done. There's none of the mass public shootings that would have been stopped by that. First of all, they make it seem as if this is some, you know, the Republicans didn't want to go, you know, don't have a problem with terrorists having guns. They won't even admit that the whole debate there was over whether or not you could have to go before a judge in order to make the final decision whether or not somebody's going to lose their rights or not, where the Democrats just wanted, you know, just some unnamed bureaucrat in Washington to make a decision that couldn't be challenged in court. You know, it's just, so anyway, so that's on the one hand. And on the other hand, I don't see a serious discussion about what I think, what I've been arguing for years, is relevant in this case. And that is, we've had yet another mass public shooting where guns are banned in these gun-free zones, where law-abiding citizens, general citizens, aren't allowed to have guns to be able to go and protect themselves. And I don't know. I mean, I've read so many statements by these killers over the years that where they explain why they picked the targets that they did, because they wanted to pick targets where people weren't going to be able to go and defend themselves. And I see that over 98% of the mass public shootings since 1950 have occurred in these types of places. In Florida, you look at all the mass public shootings there, whether it was the one yesterday or the Orlando nightclub shooting or the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting or the Orlando business shooting last year at the RV facility or at the Hialeah restaurant. All those, each and every one of them, occurred in some of the very few places in Florida where guns are banned.
Well, and I heard that there was, from a student who came on with us earlier, that there are five security guards at the school. We're not clear on how many are armed, but at least I think the football coach who ended up dying, she said was armed. But I don't think we have confirmed that or not. Was he armed? Do we know? Did any of these people have guns, Taylor? We don't know. Yes, no, sort of, no.
The only one that I've heard of is that there was one police officer, but who knows? I mean, facts could change. There was one police officer at the school, but he was uniformed. And what people don't seem to appreciate is the extremely difficult job having somebody in uniform with a gun. I mean, it would be nice if it was easy. But the thing is, putting somebody in uniform there makes them a sitting duck. I mean, it's like a neon sign above the person saying, shoot me first. Either the person can avoid them because they know that they're supposed to avoid them, or if they're going to go and do an attack and the person's there in order to stop it, they're the first ones taken out. And we see that time after time in different attacks. What you need is somebody who the attackers can't identify beforehand who is going to be able to stop them.
Well, the soft target nature of these schools requires constant drilling, but you know they don't have time to do constant drills, right? I mean, you do have to. I mean, they say tell the kids to go in a classroom. Thank God the guy didn't get into one of those classrooms where like 35 kids are sitting there. You know, I know people's lives were saved, which is fantastic, but the guy's got to be taken out. I mean, you have to take out an active shooter. You can't just wait for his clips or his magazines, excuse me, to run out. He's got to be taken out by someone in the school. And Mark Furman was on earlier saying that's dangerous because a lot of these people who carry guns don't know how to really use them. So it makes a bad situation worse.
Well, I disagree completely with that. Look, people can go to our website, crimeresearch.org. We have lists of dozens of mass public shootings that have been stopped by citizens with permitted concealed handguns. There's just a case just a few weeks ago in Florida where a mass public shooting was stopped at an automobile repair shop because there were two concealed handgun permit holders there. In not one of these cases where they don't get national news coverage, which is amazing, but in not one of these cases have the types of fears that people bring up about what might go wrong actually occurred. You know, they'll say, well, maybe they'll shoot a bystander. Show me one of these cases where a permit holder stopped these attacks where that's happened, because it hasn't. Or they'll say when the police arrive on the scene, they'll accidentally shoot the permit holder. Again, that's never happened. Are these possibilities? Sure. And might we be concerned about them? Sure. But if you can't even point to one case where the types of problems that they worry about have happened, it seems like we shouldn't put undue weight on those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the push to outlaw the AR-15 or AR-15-like weapons, we knew that was coming, but that happened pretty fast last night, John Lott.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at across all the mass public shootings over the last decade, it's not used that commonly. Handguns are much more commonly used in these types of attacks. But, you know, I'm not sure most people understand the differences with guns. I mean, here you have a semi-automatic rifle. I mean, it may look like a military weapon, but it's just the inside guts of it are the same as any semi-automatic hunting rifle. In fact, small game-type hunting rifle, firing the same bullets with the same rapidity, doing the same damage. If they want to go and ban all semi-automatic hunting rifles, you know, including small caliber ones, fine. Let's talk about whether they want to do that. But it's just not logical to go and pick out. I mean, I don't think they do want to ban all semi-automatic guns because civilians benefit from having them. I mean, you have three different types of guns. You have single shot guns where you have to manually reload them. Semi-automatic, where one pull the trigger, bullet comes out, it reloads itself, one pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, and then you have automatic or machine guns. And, you know, civilians who are trying to defend themselves may not have the luxury of having the time to manually reload their gun after they fired a shot. If there are multiple people there or they miss the first shot, or they don't even have the luxury of firing some type of warning shot, putting somebody in that situation, you know, civilians, it can endanger your lives. There's a benefit for people who use guns defensively to have a semi-automatic gun.
Now, breaking news